The following program may contain music related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
And I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How you doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing good.
You look
great. I wish
great.
I could look at you while I was talking.
Well, when we do the video show, we're going to have monitors, right?
I don't know. What are we going to have?
I was hoping at least two cameras.
Monitors?
Yeah, so we can see ourselves.
Don't need monitors?
No?
No.
All right.
You don't need to see it. Then you'll be looking at that and not looking at where you need to be.
Where do I need to be looking?
Well, at your computer and at the camera, possibly.
All right. I think you need to look at more.
And me.
You need to look at more video podcasts out there and see what people are, air quotes, getting away with. And they're popular, like millions of people watching these videos.
Have you been watching?
I've been watching the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A few popular video podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And
we got a guest in the studio.
Ooh, who is it? It's Cher.
Intern.
Yeah, intern. Excuse me. I could use a cup of coffee, please.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Fired.
You are now making less money. You're fired.
What are you, Trump? Got yes. Something against Mexicans?
Why? What's Mexicans got to do with anything?
Trump.
What's he got against Mexicans?
Well, that was the big hoopla.
No.
Don't you watch the news?
I stay away from mainstream news.
I hope you got news today from the show, but...
Trump running for president sounds like a TV reality show. And honestly...
He's not doing too bad, I don't think, though.
No, of course not. That's how people pick their president.
Do you think he's going to be president of the United States?
Well, that's what they said.
Over Hillary?
Well, Hillary does have, she's got the
odd sexual preference.
We mean with Bill?
No. I mean, she swings both ways, doesn't she?
Oh, you think that they got Monica in the bedroom with them?
Well, no, I don't know about that, but there was a lot of talk about her being lesbian, wasn't there?
Well, I could see her being lesbian.
Could you?
If I was a woman, I would find her attractive.
Yeah?
As a man.
If you were a woman, would you be a lesbian?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
For sure.
Are there lesbian men?
Lesbian men, no. But seriously.
Is lesbian the right word these days? Even?
It is. Lesbian is the word.
Or is it just gay?
No. Gay is, if most people use the word gay now when they refer to men.
Everybody.
No. I mean, yes, the women who gay. Have the, who like women are gay.
LCBO?
LCBO, that's where I get all my gay
drinks.
Drinks.
So it's the pink drink with a little umbrella.
But no, the fact that Trump is actually running for president, this is the perfect picture of what is wrong with the United States.
And, oh, yeah?
And Canada, for
And he
sure.
can say that. He's American.
Absolutely. And that's the way people buy their president.
That's the way. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the person who spends the most money on advertising wins. That's basically the way that works.
Yeah.
Obama spent the most money, and he won.
And Trump's got the dough.
He's got the... Well, yeah, he does have a lot of money, for sure.
And he's losing a lot of accounts, though. And I mean,
he's
sponsors
what?
And those kind of things. He's losing a lot of...
Right. He's...
Because he's so vocal.
Yes. He's losing allegiances that were probably a little shaky to begin with, because he is Trump, and he, you know, wasn't always in the spotlight. But now you're running for president, you're pretty much out there... Full blast Trump. There's some people that just try to avoid him because they can't stand him, because he's somewhat obnoxious.
Right. I do like the way, I mean, even, let's see, maybe George W. Bush. Some presidents are decision makers, you know what I mean? To go to war, to do this, to do that, whatever it is, or maybe his dad, you know,
his
kind
dad,
of thing. But
George H. Bush, for
strong
sure.
leader.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
George
yeah,
W.
Yeah,
Bush
W.
Was
wasn't
not,
a strong leader
no.
at all. But I don't know where he would, you know, if his dad had something to do with it or whatever, but he's made some strong decisions to do some things, and whether that comes from him or president or whatever, but Trump is like that. Although at the same time, Trump is probably somewhat maybe irrational a little bit. You know what I mean? Like just not,
yeah,
you know,
he doesn't have any experience in the political realm.
All right. What's happening in the world today of in music, not in Trump land?
Do you got any music news?
Do I have any music or music news? Yeah. Music ceiling news. Collapsed during a concert at a venue used in Prince's Purple Rain, the iconic music venue First Avenue in Minneapolis. Had a mighty scare this week when a 30-foot by 30-foot section of the ceiling collapsed during a performance of Theory of a Dead Man.
You got to be loving Theory of a Dead Man, right?
I like Theory of a Dead Man.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, your Theory of a Dead Man, you play somewhere and the roof literally comes down.
Yeah. We're going to bring down the house tonight.
We're going to rock so hard, we're going to bring down the roof.
The Canadian rock band was beginning their fourth song around 10 p.m. when the incident occurred, reports Consequence of Sound. And video taken from the scene shows the collapse happen, with the very fortunate takeaway being that there weren't very many people in the area
of where the roof came down.
Ceiling actually collapsed, yeah.
I wonder what was the worst thing that happened to somebody. They don't actually say. I mean, if someone died, yeah, we would have heard about it, right? Probably.
I don't think there were any fatalities.
I think, yeah, there definitely was no fatalities. We would have heard about that. That would have been all over the place, even though I don't listen to the news. Did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
Lippo doesn't listen to mainstream news.
Oh, yeah.
Only the stuff that leaks into my Twitter and Facebook feed.
Lippo Leaks.
Lippo
There's
Leaks.
There's a podcast.
Lippo Leaks. For you. Well, that doesn't sound very good. People will picture me standing there with no...
That's what I'm picturing right now.
With my diaper on.
I'll be able to get that out of my head.
There's a little drip coming out of my diaper. Lippo Leaks.
Lippo's got a drippo.
And I used to have... allergies. I used to leak all the time. It was horrible. I couldn't breathe. My nose would constantly be leaking.
And what stopped that?
I tried many drugs, and I think there was one I settled on. I forget what it was. Reactin, I think, or something. I hated taking them because it make you feel...
Did you still have to, or did it just go away?
They just went away. And honestly, at least once a week, starting about 2-3 weeks ago, I'll get like a rash of sneezes. Like I'll sneeze 20 times in a row, and then it'll bug me for about an hour.
Should videotape that. It's kind of neat.
Well, you don't know what's coming. Oh, I suppose that you do. It's like, oh, I should videotape.
Keep the video rolling. That's all.
That's easy.
Fill the house with cameras.
It's usually at work because the air is so pure.
Do you still
have
the sensitivity to like, what do you call it? Cologne and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. That's horrible.
That's always.
I think a lot of people have that. Some varying degrees of...
Yeah, I guess I would say I do, too. I mean,
sensitivity
when Lana uses, like, you know what I mean? Getting ready for, like, work and that kind of thing and spray stuff.
Yeah.
And then I smell it, like, when I'm still sleeping or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like...
Gets right in your nose.
It's too much.
It is too much. And it's not that it smells bad, that's for sure. It's just a physiological reaction.
Strong at the time kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I actually like the smell of most...
Mist.
Most stuff.
What else is going on in the news?
Chris Cornell gets pulled into heartbreak on his new dynamic single, Nearly Forgot My Broken Heart. So Chris is doing another solo project. It premiered on Wednesday at Zane Lowe's Beats One radio show. Have you listened to Zane Lowe at all?
No.
Do you know who Zane Lowe is?
No.
He was on BBC, number one.
Why aren't we on Beats?
And he got hired by Apple, and now he's...
Why aren't we hired by Apple?
Do we do... Oh, I guess, yeah, we could. You're looking for something? Oh, yeah, you're looking for his refreshments.
My water, Bubba.
We could apply. Let them know we're available. But they should know we're available. We're on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, they know.
They have hired Canadian dudes to play music on Beats.
Does that mean I'll get hired by myself?
What? We can't do it together?
Oh.
We should do a morning show for Beats One.
Of course we should.
We should write up a proposal and send it to Apple.
Okay. Are you going to help me?
Sure, I'll help you. I'll correct your grammar and your spelling. And tell you which made-up words you
can't
use.
I write better than I talk.
You do. You're a very good writer, actually. I think that's an idea. I don't know that they have any morning-type stuff. They're all about the music, though, so we can
everybody's going to jump on it now that we just verbally...
But they're not as good as we are.
Well, of course not.
And the ones and those ones that are on the same level as us, they don't even know that we exist. They stay away from this show. They don't even know how good we are.
That's right. They stay away from it. You better watch it.
I would love to be able to work for Apple.
Big JD and Lippo, what would we call the show? Taking over the morning.
Something about morning. In the morning works for me. I love it.
I like it too. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Big JD and Lippo in the morning. Sundays. BigJDandLippo.com.
No, I want to do it more than just Sundays. I want this to be...
Oh, yeah, that would be an everyday
A regular
thing.
Day gig.
Yeah, so what would happen with that? I mean, they'd have to pay us some big bucks to get you out of the
It's Apple. Office. Absolutely. I want a signing bonus, for sure. That sounds like a E7th minor ninth.
It's with the seventh stuff.
Sevenths.
So, what are we doing on the show today?
We are going to be doing push-ups, and we're going to see if JD can do more push-ups than Lippo.
Maybe not today.
Okay, crunches? Today's crunch day on Big JD and Lippo.
It's crunch time. I'm good with... I'm good under pressure. It's good. Pressure! Oh, that's the crusher. Golden. What is it? Looney Tunes. I don't want to say golden. What's associated with golden with Looney Tunes?
Something. Yep.
Oh, the Golden Years DVD set, maybe it's called.
All right. I can believe that.
So anyway.
Today, we're talking about how musicians learn how to play their instruments.
Yeah, we're talking about... theory versus by ear learning, lessons versus learning on your own, that kind of thing. Although you can give yourself lessons, I suppose, and
give yourself
learn
lessons
off the internet these days and those kind of things. And you know, how is that making a dent in the music instructors' pockets and those kind of things, or store, like, you know, music stores that offer lessons and things when kids can just learn online now?
Yeah, the only problem with learning online is there is no feedback on what you're doing. You can try to mimic what you see on screen and hear, but there's nobody...
Yeah, no feedback. And it's interesting that you say that, because I've got an interview coming up on the You Talking to Me segment this week with a musician and former instructor and University of Windsor music graduate, Randy Falsetta.
And then Detroit Soundhouse.
South Detroit Soundhouse host.
Host.
Randy Falsetta. And he mentioned something as well to the fact, something similar to that. Not so much about the feedback necessarily, but the fact that, you have to listen to him explain it, but that the internet, it basically goes on and on and on. Like, there's no structure, and you get bits and bits here and there, but right. Not necessarily a structure of, you know, from beginning to end. And music related to today's show topic from Big JD and Lippo today, and this is the Rods Music Man.
Yeah.
So that's the Rods. That's a they're a band that's been on this show at least three,
yeah,
four times.
Yeah, a few times here and there. Yeah.
And we've only done 50
shows. Not all
shows.
Our shows, probably, but yeah, the Rods out of New York. And I'm still in touch with Carl Kennedy, the drummer from the Rods. And the guitar player is Dio's cousin, who was in Elf with Dio.
Is that right?
One album, yeah.
So what about that guy, Dio's cousin? Do you think he was classically trained, took lessons, or did he just learn by listening to his records?
Wow. That I don't know, but I'm going to say he probably didn't necessarily take lessons. Like, I don't know if a lot of people did back then, really, went and took guitar lessons. I don't know.
What is back
that's
then?
That's pretty old. Well, Elf and the Electric Elves. I mean, that's...
70s, right?
You know, yeah, pre...
Rainbow.
Dio pre-Rainbow. And I don't know when the first Rainbow album came out, but...
70,
early, mid-70s, maybe?
76, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
So, yeah, early 70s stuff. And I don't know if they were taking lessons or maybe somebody showed them something like, you know, like my story. Maybe we'll get into that later. But
what about Ritchie Blackmore? Like he...
Yeah.
He seemed like
he knows something.
He was schooled in some kind of music. He knew all the Figurian modes and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
heavy
I think
into Mozart
like
and Bach.
Classically trained.
Classically trained, yeah. I'm going to hazard a guess that he might even be... like he might know how to play piano.
Oh, quite possibly. I know Lips from Anvil was classically trained in classical guitar, took classical lessons, didn't like it. I don't know how long he took it for.
So did I. Took classic lessons for a little while.
Classical from, guitar or something?
Chris Prokratic.
Oh, okay.
Do you know him?
Sort of, not really. Like, okay. I'd know, you know, met him back in the day kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, I met him back in the day through
early on,
Mad Dog.
Yeah, he moved away, though.
Yeah, moved out west. So.
With a Bracewell and opened a studio or something. And you got something coming up here, some Bad Horsey.
That's Mr. Steve I. And the reason I chose this is because I know that he took lessons from Joe Satriani.
Yeah.
And he didn't know a lick of nothing when he knocked on Joe's door. And this is what he sounds
like. And they're
both
super giants now.
Steve I's actually a short man. And we're back.
What's the true?
That's the drummer. That's what the drummer always does to try to get the last word in.
The drummer's in the last word.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Bump, bump. Drummer's in the last word. Bump, bump.
Wow.
It was just one of those things. So yeah, we're talking about music versus theory versus blah, 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 blah. And what do you, you had some lessons.
I went to the Canadian Conservatory of Music.
Is that the first thing that happened with you? Or did you like learn on your own and were playing already? And what happened?
Yeah, some guy knocked on the door. I told the story on this show or some version of this show before.
Tell it again.
Canadian Conservatory of Music. They went door to door and said, do you have a young person here between the ages of 12 and 16, maybe? I forget what it was. And we were offering accordion and guitar lessons in your community. Starting very soon. So I said, yeah, sure. I'm interested in learning how to play guitar. And next thing you know, I'm at the parish hall with a really bad acoustic guitar in my hand.
Yep.
And my fingers were hurting, but I played air guitar so much when I was a kid, like before they had knocked on the door. And, you know, I was into Ted Nugent and Deep Purple and Zeppelin and Sabbath. And, you know, I was just into that guitar-based music. Mm-hmm. So when the opportunity came to want to play guitar, I said yes. But like I said, it was a really bad acoustic guitar. Made my fingers hurt a lot. And, you know, you're learning songs like... Tom Dooley and
Tweak a Little Star and whatnot.
Yeah, all those crazy songs. And I was learning how to read music, though, which was way more than I thought I was going to be able to do. And I thought, well, I'll do whatever it takes for the next 2-3 years to get good enough dexterity-wise to learn how to play, you know, the tunes that I want to play, the stuff that's on the radio, like some Montrose and... Purple or whatever, you know, just all the stuff that I was into. And so I did that till I was 16, I think. My teacher got fired from the Canadian Conservatory of Music for getting caught smoking weed with me in the bathroom of the of the Belt River Arena.
And how old were you?
16.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd been taking it for about 2.5 years, taking lessons with Mickey Levesque. And
never heard that name.
He was, I don't know, he was into bands so much.
I like Mick Levick, though.
I think they started calling him Mike, like as an adult. He didn't like the name Mickey. It sounded too childish or whatever. I'm not sure where he even got the name Mickey, if it was a nickname or not, but that's what I called him.
I had a schoolmate from grade school who we called Mickey. His name was Mike or Michael, but we always called him Mickey. I still want to call him Mickey.
And I used to have one of my
best
friends. Drank
a few in high school, too.
And his name was Keith, and we used to call him Mickey.
Oh, that's...
That's weird. Yeah, I totally forget where he got his name at. And what about yourself as far as training goes?
Oh, I think you'll hear a little bit about that during my interview with Randy, because Randy, I attribute my playing to Randy, who first taught me really something structured, like a few full songs right through.
Right.
And
you totally hated
he
it.
He taught
so
me
you
how
never
to
learned
put
another
chords
song
together
again.
And where, you know what I mean? How they... fit together.
Oh, okay.
And that's what basically got me going. And all I wanted to do was write songs.
Once you
so I never
that.
Actually I had one lesson with Charlie Szabo at Leone's, hated it, and that was it. And like I don't even remember know what went on there. I just remember A, B's and C's, and I'm like, I don't even get it. But Randy showed me something that stuck with me forever, and so that's why I attribute anything I ever did in music to learning from him.
So he gave you the theory that is involved as
far
as
song
structure.
Yeah, this goes here, and then you go to, you can skip one and do this, and then this one next to it, and then you can go around here like this kind of a box.
And so that just opened
up. Never really taught me boxes or blues, nothing, you know what I mean? Like
right.
Anything like that, but just a song from beginning to end, and it clicked. Seeing how a song was put together. This is JDBC, Rockin' Blues Man.
He told his mama and he told his papa he's leaving rockin' blues man. He's gonna blow everybody away that he can. Taste. If this kid ain't a superstar, in a week it'll be a waste. He's gonna be a rockin' blues man. He's gonna blow everybody away that he can. And he never lets him down. He plays it heavy and the whole world is a stage. Turn it up to 10, now it's time to engage. He's gonna be a rock and blues man. He's gonna blow everybody away that he can. He's on top of the world and everybody knows his name. He's signing records and tapes, he's got fortune and fame. He's become a rock and blues man. He's gonna blow everybody away that he can. Grabs the phone away, so you think you're a superstar. That's right, he says, that's how it is, you won't bring me down. You didn't believe I had what it takes. Well, take a look around. He's definitely a rockin' blues man. He's gonna blow everybody away that he can.
So before that, we were talking a little bit about what?
Yeah, it was perfect timing. I was talking about how you learned, and you told us you were inspired to write songs, which is interesting. You were inspired,
and that's one of them.
Not to play, but to actually write songs.
Yeah, actually, if you want to put it that way,
you're more into the making writing than actual playing.
You
wanted to do that more.
I like to play,
of course,
but I just want to do what I want. I want it to sound like I want, sound like me, feel like me, play like me, do what I want, and just never cared about
anybody
how
else.
Things are, have to be or supposed to be, right?
So don't you be telling me what I got to do.
Okay, and now, as mentioned, Randy Falsetta. During the You Talking to Me segment of Big JD and Lump in the Morning.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Today on the show, my guest Randy Falsetta joins me to talk about music theory and by-ear learning and some issues and discussion that surround that. Randy is the Detroit editor for Splash Magazine. He's interviewed many a great artist and written about them, photographed them. He's a fantastic musician, guitar player, songwriter, and former music instructor who has played in and performed live in a number of bands and as a solo artist. Randy is also host of the web-based interview show South Detroit Soundhouse, in which he's interviewed international artists such as Toto and Eddie Money. Randy Falsetta, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, JD, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. It's great to have you on the show. Actually, Randy and I go back a little ways, so we might talk a little bit about that. But let's start out by talking about your music career. What have you done in music? And maybe get a little bit into your previous music learning experience.
When I was young, I guess for friends of mine who also played guitar, I kind of tapped into it as well. And it just resonated for me when I was really, really young, probably about 12, 13 years old, and it was just something that became a quick passion of mine, and just wanted to, you know, investigate it as much as I can. And it's one of those stories, I guess, where, you know, like the Beatles influence were for many other people. I remember my brother bringing home a 45 of the band Kiss with Rock and Roll All Night on one side, and remembering that vividly and wanting to explore, you know, his style of guitar playing. Which turned me on to other guitar players, and it all kind of started from there.
You didn't take lessons early on or anything like that, or did you at all?
No, it was all, I was one of those people who I guess was fortunate enough to have a bit of an ear to pick things up by myself. And back in those days, back in the mid-70s, late 70s, it was, you know, putting the needle back and forth on the record player. Or, you know, pressing rewind and play on a tape deck. It wasn't anything like there is today. So it was more rigorous and time consuming, but it did develop my ear and friends of mine as well. I remember us doing the same similar things and just, you know, learning off records. And that's where we, you know, developed an ear for it. But later on, it became more, you know, I want to learn more about the notation and take things more seriously and be able to read out of a book and open up that door, which, you know, again, you know, broadens the scope of what you can do on the instrument.
Did you start learning theory and whatnot on your own, or did you go for lessons, that kind of thing? Like, how did that work?
Well, the ear part, I remember when I was, again, you know, in my early teens, learning by ear by myself. And that was something I did on my own, but I did take formal lessons for the notation and going through, you know, the beginner books and getting into advanced books, which later helped me because, you know, when I approached going to university and studying classical guitar there, I mean, all that notation stuff really helped. Without that, I think I would have had a rougher ride. So again, it was learning the guitar by ear by myself and taking formal lessons for quite a few years, just the reading and notation wise.
You've been on both sides of covers and doing your own material originals. And would you say one over the other was more helpful in your creative ability? Was it, you know, did you pull from music theory and your education when you're, you know, kind of creating and doing your own thing? Or did you find that more the by ear thing and just pulling creativity from just making stuff up, kind of?
Well, I think first one has to have the ability to learn by ear. There are those people that just can't identify notes and tones and chords or whatever. So, you know, you have to have that beginning ability, which I was lucky enough to have, again, you know, some ability in that department. But, you know, it does, the notation, I think, doesn't lead, you know, it's not as much as a creative element, because you're really just, you know, repeating what somebody has already written. But the ear thing, you know, I think of a guy like Eddie Van Halen, who didn't take any formal training at all and just used the guitar as more of experimentation and just, you know, been able to not have any walls up at all and just to see where the guitar could go without any direction at all. And I mean, look where that took them. So I think the creativity is all about breaking down walls and not having those formal borders up.
Sure. I mean, I know excellent musicians that have gone to school and are educated musically through theory and whatnot, and they don't necessarily have much creativity and can't sit down and ad lib at their instrument that they're very proficient on if they're reading music. Kind of amazing how that works. What do you think about the difference between tab and theory? Because tab became kind of this easy way to you know, learn songs and things like that, you know, especially like for a guitar player, to be able to play without knowing theory. And what are your thoughts between theory and tab?
Well, tab is, you know, it's one of those double-edged swords. It's great because at the end of the day, it's whatever sound comes out of the instrument. Nobody knows whether you're reading it from notation or reading it from tab. It's just what comes out of the speaker. So it gave, you know, people the opportunity, young kids, to just pick up stuff quite easily. It would have been done the same way with notation, sounded the same had they done it that way. I think the only difference is that, you know, tab is very limited and notation can take you a lot further. You know, you see tab on the internet and you don't see notation on the internet. I mean, that's more of a serious man's game, you know, especially when you get into, you know, score reading or, you know, classical guitar pieces and stuff like that. Tab can only take you so far. So I think it's limited.
And we'll get a little bit into the internet and how it might affect music instructors. But I want to mention a couple things. One thing, Randy's at the beach right now. Talking to him from the beach. And
it's a beautiful 75 degree day. There's nobody on the beach except for me and a few people, but the waves are crashing and I'm living it.
In LA, right?
Exactly. LA on Riverside Drive.
All right. And I also want to mention, and a lot of our listeners probably know because I've mentioned this a number of times to our listeners and others all the time. I attribute all my playing to Randy. What I've done, whether, you know, well, maybe that's not saying anything or could be saying something big. I mean, Randy is the one that originally taught me how to play a song and put a chord progression together and taught me a few songs. And I remember a couple of them. I think one was Don't Go by Judas Priest. Another one was like Paranoid. And this was way back in the day. And from there, I never took lessons or anything like that. I just wanted to do my own thing or whatever. But I've always attributed anything that I did in music to you.
Wow. Well, thanks. JD. That's an enormous compliment. Because a guy like you, you know, with the, and speaking again about creativity, I mean, doing the Wicked Angel thing, that was huge back in, you know, in the 80s. And I mean, that was really, for Windsor, you know, stepping outside the box. And whether you like the music or not, I mean, you know, the people that showed up to the gigs obviously did. Yours truly did. But regardless of that, I mean, you know, taking risks like that is what it's all about, man. And you know, I have to tip my hat to you as well. So
thanks, man. That's cool. But yeah, I've always attributed my music history or career to you. And I've told you that a number of times. Anyway. So
thanks, buddy.
I really appreciate that. And I always have.
Thanks.
I don't know what I would have done without that instruction from you. I also wanted to talk a little bit about South Detroit Soundhouse, which is a project that I've been doing with Randy, whereby we're interviewing international and national artists that come to the Windsor, Detroit area. And Randy's hosting the show. It's a video show, and we've actually interviewed a couple of big artists already, Toto and Eddie Money. Tell us a little bit about Detroit Soundhouse and maybe even Splash, if you want.
Well, South Detroit Soundhouse is a collaboration between yours truly and yourself, which is a real big passion of mine lately. It's funny, I just told the story the other day of how it started. We were going to go exploring on our Jeeps. We were going to go off-roading on Boblo Island and explore around there. And then it started to rain and we ended up grabbing a shawarma on Olette and talking about this. So it's you know, sometimes you know, the bad turns into something good. So from there it was great, man. It was a natural project that came through just chatting. And I had done, you know, phone or interviews with international guitarists and musicians, writing for Splash Magazine, which is another story. And I thought, you know, what a great idea, man. I mean, you know, Jeff, the ultimate videographer and, you know, passionate about music and a great friend. And I thought, well, what a great thing we could put together if we put, you know, the interviews that I was doing with your, you know, ability to make it all happen with video and editing and sound and all that stuff. I thought, you know, this could really turn into something. And I think we're on the way, and I think it's going to grow from here. And, you know, so far we're Windsor's best kept secret.
Right on. Yeah. South Detroit Soundhouse is a lot of fun. Really cool. Listeners can check out SouthDetroitSoundhouse.com if you want to check out the interviews, and there'll be more on the way for sure. It's a pretty exciting new thing. I think it's a great thing for the area here. A great new progression for you, Randy, you know, coming from the writing background and then to phoner interviews with major artists. He's talked to everybody, Peter Frampton, Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, just to name a few of them. Listeners can also check out your website, right, to listen to interviews and so forth?
That's right, randyfalsetta.com.
Now, lastly, I just want to ask you a little bit about the internet affecting music instructors and that kind of thing. I know you, I believe you taught back in the day. Did you teach in school as well as a music instructor?
Well, I basically taught my way through university, which helped pay for my education. So I had a number of students, probably more than I should have, which really affected my academic grades. So, it was through, you know, four institutions that I was teaching during the week, plus teaching at home. You know, teaching is great. It broadens your scope as well with people bringing in things that they need to learn. And it, you know, again, challenges you and builds up your ear and whatnot. But going back to the internet, you know, there's one thing I got to say about the internet, and this goes back to what I had said earlier about spinning records and learning things that way. There's a lot of kids out there these days that have the abilities to go on the internet and learn on video what they want to pick up, as opposed to going to formal lessons, which is great. But the only thing is that because that vehicle is available to them, I think that they should be further on in their guitar learnings and careers than I was back then, because there's so much more available to people. I mean, there's the ability to go on the internet, find some app or some, you know, somebody slowing down a solo for you right in front of your eyes, where back then I remember having to pick out note for note. So maybe their ears aren't as great as they could be, but I think that because of the tools out there, that there should be some real keeners out there in the future, hopefully.
And then as far as instructors go, though, people say music on the internet, downloading and whatnot, is kind of hurting music. Do you think it affects negatively instructors because it's so readily and easily available now online? Or do you think that maybe, it's something that I think is maybe that music instructors should just be more innovative and utilize the internet for what they do?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question, actually, because I actually never thought of that. But the artists that I've always spoken to, the guitar players, have always spoken with great concern about the internet and what it's done to the record industry. I mean, everything speaks volumes. It's, you know, record labels are on their way to being defunct. Studios have closed. Engineers have lost jobs, all kinds of things like that. But you know what? In terms of instructors, that's a really great point, because now you can go on the internet. But I think the only thing about the internet, and even if I wanted to poke my nose in on the internet, even somebody who has some abilities to very good abilities, there is no beginning and end. There's no, you know, where did you leave off last week, or let's continue from here. It's you're poking around, and there's no, like, say for instance, if you wanted to learn the blues, I mean, to learn here, you know, here and there riffs is great off the internet, but there has to be some kind of formal structure, something where you start and something where you, well, there's never really an end, but, you know, if you can imagine that, there has to be some kind of path to get where you want to go, which the internet doesn't provide.
Very good point. Well, we appreciate you being on the show today about the theory versus tab and by ear playing, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day at the beach.
Yeah, hang on a second. Miss, would you mind rubbing some of this lotion on my back?
Whoa, this is a clean show.
Oh, sorry about that. Hey, JD, it was great talking to you, buddy, and I will see you soon, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, Randy.
Take care.
However you learn music, I think it's just the fact that you learn music that's important. Whether it's a hobby or your professional career, creating music, sharing your music, or just having fun playing or performing, it's something that everyone can enjoy. Well, except maybe those with music anhedonia, but that's another show. In fact, if you check out the You Talking to Me show archives, you'll actually find a show on just that. Check out the You Talking to Me website at www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's with the number 2. Also visit today's guest, Randy Falsetta, on the web at randyfalsetta.com, FALSETTA.com. There you'll find some cool phone interviews with Peter Frampton, Joe Satriani, and more. Visit SouthDetroitSoundhouse.com for video interviews shot by yours truly and hosted by Randy. And while you're at it, check out the Music Talk-based morning show I do with longtime co-host Lippo. Visit BigJDandLippo.com or search Big JD in the iTunes store. This is You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Very cool interview with Randy there.
And he's on the beach, so you can kind of hear the waves crash there, trying to get rid of a little bit of that. But
why?
Well, because it was like too much. Couldn't hear me. Like when he was talking, it was okay because it cuts him out. He's on an Android. I don't know what difference that makes, but you know how they kind of have noise canceling or whatever?
Yes.
But when he's not talking, the waves come through. So they're during my, while I'm talking, you can hear the waves. And when he's talking, it's nice and clear. So
So there's like some kind of noise cancellation while he's talking.
I think our phones cancel all the time, don't they? The iPhone.
Right. I think so. I'm not sure. They sound great, especially FaceTime calls. FaceTime calls sound way better than cellular calls.
Yeah, FaceTime calls are great.
There's some kind FaceTime of algorithm. Cool. Yeah, it's like Skype. Skype, free. Amazing how good it sounds.
Yeah, Skype's come a long way, that's for sure.
Your wife was using Skype when I walked in the house today.
In the studio.
Were
you at the house today?
I was at the house, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Before I came into the studio here,
what
I was
were you doing at my house anyway before you got to the studio? No, just kidding.
Never mind. So, yes.
Hope you had tools with you.
Plumber's tools.
Whoa, all stuck here. What do you got for us here?
This is Mr. Ted Nugent off his first solo album. It's called Just What the Doctor Ordered. So he jammed every day and he jammed every night. Practiced till he knew all the licks.
Mm-hmm. An overdose of rock and roll until he had an overdose.
OD.
If anybody's overdosing on rock and roll, it's Ted Nugent.
Actually, he had the same disease that David Duchovny had.
Oh, did he?
The sex thing. Yes.
Really? He went to... Did he get seek help for it?
Yeah, he did.
Who seeks help for that anyways? I mean, why would you? Unless some woman made you.
I think...
If you got an...
I think he was in love with his current wife.
I mean, like, what's the problem? Really?
If you what?
If you can't get enough sex, what's the problem?
No, you want to have sex with just about everybody. And all, not everybody.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if he's married and whatever.
He was married to the smoking hot wife. What's her name? Charlene.
Yeah.
And... He talks about in other interviews I've heard before he met her.
Was he an infidel?
He was on the road and it was just insane. But then that's the rock star life. Like I told you, like
it's all part of the rock star life.
Yeah, like Sammy Hagar and Eddie Van Halen.
And it's okay, isn't it? If you're a rock star.
If you're a rock star and you're doing it during the show, like someone's got a bass solo or a drum solo, you leave the stage and you go into a tent under the stage and have sex.
Oh, yeah. Who was that again?
Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen.
Just the three of them? No chicks involved? Alrighty.
Now talking about needing help when you're sick. Anyway, back to the topic at hand here, which is, are we recording? You got to look on your face like you don't know where we're recording.
Oh, yeah. Everything's cool.
All right.
We're getting close to the end of the show.
Well, we got lots of stuff. It was an awesome interview we had in the middle of the show there.
I know, but,
Took
up 15 minutes of the show. I left the whole thing in.
Well, that's
usually I try and do 5 minutes, but...
Well, it's Randy. He's allowed.
Yeah, it's Randy.
Yeah, it's cool. Very special cool. As far as people who go into music school, there's like, you know, Juilliard out in New York, and on the East Coast, there's MIT. I think there's MIT.
I don't know if I'd want to know any of that stuff. Yeah, MIT, BIT, GIT, BI-Bicky-Bi, BI-Bo-Bicky-Bi-Bo.
So what would make someone do something like that? They just realize that they're really talented.
A career in music, perhaps, if you want to teach music, those kind of things. I mean, you have to, you know those things. Or in a lot of cases, I suppose, if you want to actually play with people who know what's going on and that kind of thing, or read music and play in that sense.
Yep.
And I mean, a lot of times we tend to think of these things from a guitarist standpoint or something, but there's a lot of other musical instruments out there, and so
vocals as well,
and vocals.
A lot
sure,
of singers.
Yeah, a lot of them take lessons and
go away to school, get a degree in music.
Yeah, or in music. Yeah, a vocalist.
So, if you want a career in music, which we have a show, I think.
And when we say career, we mean, you know, not just running off and being a rock star in LA, because that can be a career too, and you don't necessarily need to have gone to school or take lessons for it.
No.
But a career in the sense of a traditional type career, I suppose, right?
Right. And most people get a degree in music, end up teaching for the most part.
What else can you really do with a music degree? I mean, you can play in a band like other people, but I think a lot of times that people who get degrees in music or take lessons or learn that way or want to learn to play music, maybe aren't as creative as somebody who learns by ear or learns on their own or just learns, you know what I mean, kind of thing?
Absolutely. I think you're right, for sure. They have the passion and the discipline to play the music, but as far as creativity goes, probably not there. Like me, I'm both. I'm not very good at what I do. I'm a very mediocre musician, and I'm not creative.
We've been waiting for the Lipo CD for the longest time, and I
the Lipo CD.
I think I'm really going to have to do everything on there except vocals and guitar tracks.
Which you've done with a lot of people.
Yeah, I have.
and then you've even replaced their guitar tracks.
But we did a couple of songs, lots of songs, actually. But the one last song that we did, Architechnology.
No, that
wasn't it?
The last two
Peek Away. But anyway, Architechnology. Like, Peek Away was cool, too. But Architechnology, the singing, you're singing on it was cool. You have a voice a lot like James Hetfield. Did anybody ever tell you that?
No one ever told me.
Yeah, very, very similar sounding tonal quality when you're singing timber like that. And obviously accomplished on the guitar. I don't know, man. Like, what's going on?
Well, it's interesting that you had that epiphany of sorts after you had your lessons with, or whatever you want to call those things that you had with Randy, and you realized that you wanted to just write music. And it turns out, if you look on Big JD's computer here and you look under the stuff that he's actually produced, and that's probably not even all of it. There's probably stuff that you've done that
there's stuff that probably I don't have or whatever.
Missed too. The boat, but you're the most prolific musician that I know.
I've done a lot of that, and you know, a lot of it was done because my buddy Mark used to work in a not a dark house, what do you call it? Developing pictures.
Dark room.
Dark room, yeah. And I used to make tons of music for him to listen to in the dark room.
And he'd dig it.
I have so much junk, and a lot of it was just made for that purpose, you know what I mean? And some of it was just like, you know, things about us and our lives and friends and people and jokes and whatever, you know, like there's just so much stuff. But a lot of it was just, you know, made
stuff
for that.
Could really
some
relate
of it
to.
Comical and whatnot too, but and then a lot of real stuff, you know what I mean? But yeah, I did a lot of that for him and for us to listen to because we wanted new music to listen to, and nothing could come out fast enough from the bands that we liked or whatever. So I just made music that I liked.
That's insane. Did you ever write a song called Dark Room?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Nice, though. In a dark room
with no curtains.
So, yeah, that's... no, I don't think I have. I probably, if they were said to me, I'd know probably if a title that I actually used out of all the thousands and thousands of songs.
Literally, he has thousands of tunes, people.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be good if you could just throw them all up on iTunes.
Yeah, I could.
Well, do it. What's it hurt?
I could do, well, a song a day for the next 8 million years, but I could put out a new CD every day for, like, I don't know how long. Longer than I'll be alive, probably.
I can put out music.
I'll probably be famous when I'm gone.
That's what happens.
Like
artists
Daniel Johnson.
He's dead?
No. But you know who I mean? Danny Johnson, the kid with a ADHD and some...
Oh, yeah, know, yeah, something yeah. And yeah, yeah.
Kind of became famous.
Like sure, yeah.
Big staple. School.
School from Supertramp.
Teacher tells you stop your playing, get on with your work, and be like Johnny Too Good. Don't you know he never shirks? He's coming along.
coming along.
A lot of dissonance in that last chord.
I saw the Supertramp cover band. Lana did photos for them. The band, I don't know where they're from.
Exactly. Oh, I remember that.
They came and played the Cleary or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And
she did the photos.
Did I go to that show?
I don't know. Did you?
I forget.
They were good.
Were you a Supertramp fan when they were happening?
Yeah.
They were...
not like humongous, because they were a little light for me, I suppose, and I liked the heavy songs.
You wanted the guitar-driven songs.
The heavy part of Bloody Well Right was cool.
Yeah, they had a good guitar tone happening in there. Yeah, for
sure. But that one, the album Bloody Well Right, I think the album right after that, Breakfast in America, that was a big deal for them.
That's what basically
bigger deal.
Broke them beyond just
your... Yeah, but then after that would happen. So it's a one-album thing, really.
After that, yeah, unfortunately, that's what happened. The same thing happened with Jay Giles. They had Centerfold, whatever, and they just, it was, after that, it was just crap. It was like,
yeah.
Why did you do that kind of thing? I don't know. A lot of albums, a lot of bands came out with one album that broke them big, and then they ended up going in some other direction that album basically steered them in, which is, it's unfortunate a lot of times.
Things change fast, too.
Things got to change in the music industry most times. Not all times, but some people just stayed true to their roots most of the time.
There's a show, Biggest Changes in the Music Industry.
Changes in the Music Industry. You want to just go through the changes in the music industry next week?
We could.
Because this is the time in the show when we tell people what we're going to do next week.
I don't know. You got anything else in mind?
No, I don't.
Hmm. Is changes in the music industry...
warrant a show?
Yeah. Is hold that up for a, you know,
yeah, I know exactly. Filler? I don't know. I don't know if the answer to that question.
Yes, he does know the answer to that question.
But
what we're going to do.
What we are going to talk about next week.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about next week on the show? I love the wheeze. Pays to buy the best.
Yeah, if you're going to smoke weed, you might as well smoke the best. That's maybe an even edit there for Big JD. Next week, we're going to talk about the British invasion, that point in musical history that was pivotal for rock and roll, that's for sure.
Sure. We're very heavily influenced over here in the West by the
British influence, which music. Was somewhat influenced by American blues music.
Which was somewhat influenced by...
gospel music.
Which was somewhat influenced by...
African tribal music.
Which was somewhat influenced by
God.
Hey, we should do a musical, like a, what do you call it?
Family tree
history type thing. Okay, yeah. Cool.
The Family Tree Show. Not next week. Next week is the British Invasion.
British Invasion next week. And, well, here's some British dudes. Bad Company.
What tune you got? Oh, I know.
Shooting Star. Yeah, it's kind of music related, isn't it?
It reminds me of the story of Jukebox Hero by Foreigner.
Oh, it does, which reminds me of, actually reminds me of Rock and Blues Man that played by JDBC earlier.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a common story.
Listen to that very complicated and deep.
Complex
structure.
Yeah.
Took me years to
figure that
perfect out. That song. Okay, Bad Company, Shooting Star. We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Love Me Do, I think it was, but from there it didn't take him long. Got himself a guitar, used to play every night. Now he's in a rock and roll outfit and everything's all right. Don't you know? Be a big star someday, yeah. Mama came to the door with a teardrop in her eye. Johnny said, don't cry, Mama. Smiled and waved goodbye. Don't you know? Don't you know that you are a shooting star? Don't you know? Don't to number one. Suddenly everyone loved to hear him sing a song. Watching the world go by, surprising it goes so fast. Johnny looked around him and said, well, I made the big time at last. Don't you know, don't you know, don't you know that you are a shooting star? Don't you know, whoa, yeah. Don't you know that you are a shooting star, yeah. And all the world will love you just as long, as long as you are.
For more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.